Let me invite you tonight again over to the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 6. Romans chapter 8 verse 6. All right, Romans chapter 8 verse 6 reads this way. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne with the confidence of the privilege as your children, knowing that you hear us. And Lord, you've called us to ask you for the things that we stand in need of. And so, Lord, we ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit that you've indwelt us with to guide and direct our hearts and minds to worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be highly exalted and even glorified in and through us, Lord, because of your great faithfulness. Bless your word, bless your people. Build your church, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we want to go ahead and try to wrap this all up here, but the idea here that Paul is speaking about is to be spiritually minded, and what that means to be spiritually minded, and that brings the life of Christ into the heart of the believer and the peace of God that passes understanding. Now, we go through ups and downs in life. Is that not true? And in the low places, that's where we need to walk by faith in this truth, that God holds us in his hands. You follow me on that? We don't necessarily feel that way in the low places. It's easy to feel that everything's in God's hands when we're on the valley, in the mountaintop, right? In the valley, it's another feeling, sensation, experience, and understanding. But the truth is, we grow in our faith in the lower places. That's what happens because we have to look to the Lord, and the Lord has to bring us through those things or we sink, as Peter did. But then the Lord, help me. And did the Lord help him? Absolutely, he did. And so the Lord wants us to understand some things concerning what he's done for us and what he's doing for us. Remember, we looked at chapter 6 here this morning, and we understood Romans 6 explains to us that because of our salvation, we have been freed from sin. And we don't have to be the servants of sin any longer. So this is important. So if we see sin having the victory in our life, then we need to bring that before the Lord and ask him to perform that which he's promised to do and to cause us to have the victory over the sin because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want to be the servants of sin anymore, and it's not our effort, but the work of God. Now, once again, I do want to remind us of this because it's important. God put everything in his word in a specific order, did he not? And salvation has to be the first thing that takes place in the life of an individual before he can experience any of the other blessings of God. Now, let me just qualify that a little bit. God is merciful and generous to the just and the unjust. So he does send rain on the ungodly as well as the godly. And God does look out for the lost people, praise the Lord, or we wouldn't have made it. But he looks out after them, not willing that they would perish or not have eternal life, but he's long-suffering and patient and kind towards them so that they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But if we want to experience the work of God in our lives, we have to be a child of his. Because then he says, you can ask me as your heavenly Father, and I'm going to look to your needs, and I'm not going to withhold those things. How do we know that? Well, the Bible says if God the Father freely gave us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would he withhold anything else? And the answer is, of course, no, he wouldn't withhold anything else. So if we see in the Word of God that God is wanting to perform a specific work and we're lacking that work, then he's not wanting us to muster up some more strength to try at it again. He's wanting us to call upon him to perform that in our lives. And that's where we enter into the revelation, the personal revelation of God's work in our own personal life, just like David did with the lion and the bear, which gave him the faith to move forward to hear the word of God. I want you to go out after Goliath. Don't you believe David knew that? David knew, I'm supposed to go out after Goliath. And I'm not supposed to do it. God's a God of order and specifics. And I'm not supposed to do it with Saul's armor. I'm supposed to do it with this little sling and a stone
Because that's going to honor and glorify the Lord. Because the Lord takes the weak things to glorify Himself. You ever stop to ponder that thought? Why does God, is it not saying the Word of God that God chooses to glorify Himself through the weak things? Why does He do that? You ever stop to think about that? He doesn't want us getting any idea that we did it. We'll miss God. If we think we did it, well then, do we need God? We don't really need God if we can do it. But God knew this, we can't do it. So if you're evaluating your own life and you're failing in certain areas, then you need the Lord. And here's the truth, we will fail if God's not in the middle of it. In fact, if God's not out in front of it. In fact, if God's not just doing it, plain doing it for us, right? And that's why Paul said, for me to live is what? Christ. For me to, listen, God wants us to be spiritually minded because that is life and peace. And so that's what God wants us to have. So again, just to remind you of something here, look at verse 6 of chapter 6, and then we're going to quickly move into chapter 7. But verse 6 says this of Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, speaking of Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, and we are, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also, do the same, yourselves, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he says, let not sin, verse 12, therefore, because of that, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So God is being very specific here. Evaluate your own life, and God says, I am the victory in your life. Just as, listen, if you're born again, you've been risen with Christ. Is that not true? Likewise, if you're born again, then God has given you the power of the Holy Spirit to not have to yield to sin. But that's going to have to be a personal experience where we say, okay, Lord, this is what's in my life, and you're the one that said that you're going to take care of it. So now I'm bringing it to you for you to do it. Or really, I need to experience you, or the world's not going to see you. I need to see you first before the world can see the joy that you brought into my life. I need to experience, listen, it's not a fabricated thing. It's something God produces. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by our God. Amen? He's in us, but He's got to produce it. So we need to start getting busy about asking God to perform that which He promised to do. And God is faithful, and He will do it. And that's what is going to all the believer. Okay, so we need to move on. We're looking that, listen, because of salvation, this was brought into our life. Now, I want you to see the struggle. And probably chapter 8, I'm just going to let you read on your own. But we have to see the struggle. So we have been freed from sin in Romans chapter 6. We're going to go to Romans chapter 7, and I want you to understand what God is saying, and that is that we are free, or we have been loosed from the law. Okay, this is what's important. We've been loosed from the law. Because if you're a saved child of God, should righteousness be in your life? Try that again. If you're a saved child of God, should God's righteousness be in your life? Amen. It should be. Now, if it's not, there's a problem. And the problem, really, for the most part, I think it's with our understanding. And here's the part that we misunderstand. Oh, well, I have to try harder. I've done it. I've done it for many years. And I had it all wrong. It's God that does it. Or it won't happen because God's not going to share His glory. So follow me on this, ready? Look at, and then I'm going to skip to the end of chapter 7 because I want you to see something. But notice this in verse 1. Know ye not, and again, listen, understanding wisdom and knowledge is the key ingredient for success in understanding our walk with the Lord. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. That's the key to failure, being ignorant or uninformed of what God is doing. So he says this, know ye not who? Brethren. So it's speaking to believers. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, listen to this, she is loosed from the law of her husband. God, and we're going to develop this a little bit further, but God is wanting to loose us from the law. And he's giving you and I an allegory or a picture or an illustration of a woman who's married to the wrong man. He's not a bad man. He's a good man. We call him the law, right? Is the law bad or wicked? Not at all. It's not. But we will never be, listen, we are incompatible with the law. Our nature is incompatible with the law. In fact, here's our nature. Ready? Don't do this. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. Because what do we want to do now? You tell a little child, okay, now don't eat any of that. I'm going to put it right there. Don't touch the candy. What are they going to do? You would have to be completely naive, putting it nicely, right? Out of your mind to walk away from that candy in front of a child and leave them in charge. That's like the fox guarding the hen house, right? You just know what's going to happen. It's just inevitable that that's going to happen. That's our nature. So the problem is not with the law. The problem is with our fallen nature. And God knows that. Now, I know some theologians have some ideas, but I'm going to tell you, I believe, and I know that you believe, that God is a God of order. He put Romans chapter 6 right where chapter 6 should go. He put Romans chapter 7 to help us to understand what usually follows right after salvation. And once we understand chapter 7, we will be able to walk in chapter 8. This is all important. Now, some people say, we're going to look at this. In fact, let me take you over there now. Let's go to the end of chapter 7. And we know this. Look at verse 15. And a lot of people suggest that either this was Paul's life before Christ, right? Or something that he was habitually falling into. And that's not the case in either one. It is something that he did experience until the light came into his life, and then he understood it as God wants the light to come into our lives. Because otherwise, chapter 6 is completely out of order because we're supposed to have victory over sin, and now we're falling back into it. No. Listen, at salvation, we have been freed from sin. Now God wants to loose us from the law. But in order to do that, we have to be married to another man. We cannot be married to the law and look to the law. We have to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ, the new man that he gives us that sets us loose from the law. God wants to fulfill the law in us, but we're not to look to the law. We're to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see that. But notice this, ready? Verse 15 of chapter 7. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Is there a struggle here? Is there a battle taking place? So Paul is wanting to do something that is not coming to pass. Then he says this, ready? Look at verse 16. Then, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking to the law, right? Talking about the law, that it is good, and it is. Just like the illustration that Paul was starting out with, the husband's good, but something needs to take place because you're incompatible. It's just not going to work, all right? Now then, verse 17, it is no more I that do it, but what? Sin that dwelleth in me, okay? So, question, let me ask you this question, important question. Where is the focus? Where is the focus on Paul? Where is the focus? Listen again. Look at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. Where is Paul looking? Where is Paul looking? Let me help you out a little more. Let me help you out. And listen, this is really more difficult than we realize, and yet it's right. It's so elementary. Now, let me just tell you this, okay? I missed it. I cannot tell you how many times I read this for 30 years, I'm just rounding roughly 30 years, I've never understood it the way God has brought it to my understanding, to light. Okay, so watch this. Ready? He says this. Verse 24, "O wretched man that I am." This is good now. Where's the focus of Paul? It's on himself. What I would do, I'm not doing. And what I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. So where's Paul's looking to himself? That is the natural inclination that all, as a saved child of God, that is the natural inclination that every believer does. I'm convinced we all have to go, every born again. Listen, Abraham and Sarah, right? God gave us a promise. Well, bless God, here's Hagar. And they produced an Ishmael, all right? And that's not what God wanted. But that's what we do when we give God our best. He's not wanting that. Did God want Abraham and Sarah to come up with a way to produce a child? Is that what he told them to do? Or did he say, I'm going to take care of that and I'm going to do it through you and Sarah? But God, ready? I can't do it. That ought to be your cry and mine. And yes, true, we can't do it. But did God bring it to pass? And what do you think? So Sarah and Abraham get together and say, man, Sarah, I bet you nobody thought we could have done that. They didn't do it. And that's not what they said. They said, God has brought laughter. Isaac, that's what Isaac, the name Isaac means. Brought joy into our... God has brought it into our lives. Who's bringing it in your lives? If we're busy trying to bring it into our lives, God's waiting on the sideline until we're ready to see him do something for us. Just like he did in salvation. Question, did you have joy on the day of your salvation? Do you know that God wants to give us that same joy, even amplified and better understood? But we're too busy trying to do it for God. And God says, you can never produce my joy, but I'll give it. You can never produce the peace that God wants to give us, his peace, not the peace of the world. That's the only thing that we can produce. So follow this. So he says this. Now this is important. Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Now he's moving in the right direction. Ready? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's where we got to come to. Who? He's asking who? Who do you think that person is? Who is it? I thank God, verse 25, through Jesus Christ, that our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So if you're going to try to do it in the flesh, you're going to fall. But if you'll walk in the Spirit, now how does that happen? This is important. Let's back up a little bit here, and let's look at verse 1 again. Now, Romans chapter 7, this is important. We all understand what Paul said when he said, boy, when I try to do the right thing just doesn't come to pass. And his problem was his focus. Who was he looking to? Himself. Because God will never bless your effort and mine. He didn't bless the apostle Paul's. We do that to him, don't we? But that was Paul. No, that was a saved child of God, just like you. Did he have a special calling? Absolutely. But who gave him that calling? God. Who gave you your calling? Oh, same one. Isn't that amazing? That's important to know. Now God wants us to listen. It's so good. It really is so good. So listen to what Paul is saying. Now, first of all, he wants us to understand that we have to be delivered from our sin. We have to be free from sin. That comes through salvation. All right. Now we have to deal with doing the right thing and doing the wrong thing. The law, that's the next step. So notice what he says here in verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, again, being informed, for I speak to them that know the law. Now he's using this for an illustration. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. The focus is going to be on the wife, because that's you and I. We're the bride of Christ, all right? And we cannot be married to the law if we're going to be successful. We have to. So let's look. Look at verse 2. For the woman, this is the illustration, which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. Is that true? Yes. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Is Paul trying to get us to understand a truth here? Is Paul trying to help us understand how to be loosed from the law? Why is he saying this if he doesn't want us to be loosed? Does Paul understand what it's like, what it was like to fail the Lord? Listen, before salvation, we really didn't care whether we did right or not. That's the truth of the matter. We really didn't really care. But now once we're saved, we want to do the right thing. But guess what's happening? We're not doing the right thing. So we've got to get frustrated like Paul did and say, okay, I see the problem. I don't know in the world how to fix it. What is the matter? So now he gives us this illustration. The woman is married to the wrong husband. Verse 3. So then, listen to this. If while her husband liveth, seems like the husband's the culprit, right? Maybe we do away with the husband. So look, notice, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, that's not good. She shall be called an adulteress. Now, you have to follow this train of thought. He's trying to free this woman, is he not? This woman is the one that needs to be freed. She needs to be married to somebody else. But there's a problem. That husband is still alive. So it can't happen, or she's going to be called an adulteress. Ready? She shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now watch this. Ready? Wherefore, my brethren, ye also... Now, so here's the problem. Ready? I almost gave you the answer, but just look to me just for a moment. All right? I almost got ahead of myself. The husband is the law. Will the law ever die? No. No. So now we're in a conundrum here. We're really in a perplexing situation. What do we do if the husband can never die? You and I can die. In fact, you and I have died. It's already taken place on the cross of Calvary. Didn't we read that in chapter 6? You're right here in chapter 7. Back up just for a moment and notice this in verse 5. Romans 6, 5 says this, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his what? Death. In fact, let's back up to verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Remember, buried in the likeness of his death, raised again. Okay. So, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. This is the whole dilemma here. Understanding what we've already received, and you don't have to pray it through. It's already been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to get any more of the Holy Spirit than you've already been given? No. Here, you know the question, is the Holy Spirit going to get more of us? That's the whole thing. And that only comes by understanding that we need to give him ourselves because we can't do it. We need to just turn it over to the Lord and say, okay, God, I want to see you work in my life. Because when God delivers us like he did David, the lion and the bear, who are we going to praise? Do you think, listen, David knew that if it wasn't for God, he would have been dead with that lion and the bear. And that's what gave him the fortitude to go after the giant. You think he had any fear? No, he had faith or trust. Just as God has confirmed in my heart, God wants to communicate with us by experience and revelation. Let me reverse that. By revelation and experience, because that's how it happened. God reveals a truth. Now you and I have the opportunity to experience that in our lives. But it requires faith, trust. Okay, Lord, I'm trusting you to fulfill that in my life. That's how God gets the glory in your life and mine, and we get praise. Then all of a sudden, all our prayers turn into praise because we see God answering them. Prayer is more exciting when God's in the middle of it. Praise is really exciting when we have cause to praise. The bottom line is God is wanting to give you and I cause to praise Him by His grace. Not just because we're supposed to, but because what we see God doing in your life and mine. That's what it's all about. So here's the bottom line. God is wanting to loose us from this law. The man will never die, but we can. In fact, the truth is we have died in the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice what he says here. Verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, in chapter 7, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Didn't we just read that back in chapter 6? Are you dead? You've died. You just have to know it and acknowledge it. I have been loosed by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not have to, the light bulb just has to come on, and God's the one that has to turn it on. God's the one that has to turn it on. And now we have a proposition or opportunity to say, okay, God, fulfill that in me. And you will do yourself a disservice if you start to look at all your failures. Own them. They're yours. They're mine. But I'm not going to look to myself anymore if I'm going to experience Christ. I need to look to Him. All right? So again, verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also, why is he wanting us to know that we've become dead to the law by the body of Christ? Because now we can be married to Christ. That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, did I make that up? Did you see that in the Word of God? You got to see it. He wants us to be married to another. Is there a question in verse 4 as to who that is? We have been loosed from the law because we died in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Let's look at it one more time. Look at verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, so he's speaking to believers. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. How? By the body of Christ. That ye should be married to another. In other words, remember, we died in Christ. So we have been loosed because of Christ from the law. It is really liberating. It really is. That doesn't mean that we live a reckless life. That means that, listen, the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth. Is that not true? Do you know that if we are sensitive to the Spirit of God, we won't even have to try? God will fulfill the law in us. Because, see, I want you to understand, the law goes this high. Grace is infinite. Grace is infinite. And if we're looking to the law, we're here. If we're looking to the grace of God, there is no end. There is no end of experience with God. That's why Paul is saying, for me to live, we don't understand that. What he's talking about is what real life, real experience, real revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think the church is maybe missing something today? Because all we're doing as far as what I see across our land is people just attending church and hoping to hear something, an encouraging word, something to make them feel good, whatever you want to call it. But question, is the world getting flipped upside down for Christ today? Don't think so. You know why? Because the Spirit's not loosed in our lives. And we don't realize, listen, please, I like the song, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's true, but I'm a victor in Christ too. I do like the song. I'm not faulting the song. But we're more. And yes, that's where it all begins. I'm all for that. So again, listen to it very carefully. Look at verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. Remember, that was the illustration Paul was using. Even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And the truth is, that's him doing it for us. So we should, listen, did he just say that we should be bringing, in other words, in your life and my life, the fruit of God should be born in our lives. Isn't that what we just read? All right, let's go on now. Let's follow his thought here. Look at verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, past tense, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now, Paul is explaining this to believers. God is explaining this to believers because we go through this. But he's wanting to bring us through onto the other side to move forward in the faith that he's given to us so that we can experience the grace of God and the fruit of God in our lives. So what we need to do is evaluate our life. Okay, is the fruit of God being born? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, be kind, be gentle, all these things, long-suffering, all these things. If they're not prevalent, then we have to begin with saying, we've got a problem. We got to start there. Do you know, listen, you've heard this. You cannot help anybody until they want to what? Help themselves. You cannot help anyone until they want to help themselves. You and I cannot be helped by the Lord unless we want his help. Does God just save people? You're saved. Or is he waiting for people to call on him? Right? Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's still waiting for us. As his children now. As his children. Was it a great day when you got saved? I bring you back to that because God wants to give you many great days because of his grace. Many great days. So, again, verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, and we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit. I'm not making that up. We should serve, make me stronger. No, in the newness of the Spirit. We should serve, I'm going to rededicate my life. No, in the newness of the Spirit. I'm going to try this again harder. No, in the newness of the Spirit. It doesn't come by anything that we can do. We'll never get it. God won't grant it. Because he's given to us Christ. And he's all we need. He is all that we need. If we'll just walk in that truth and say, okay, God, it is yours. Do it. And that's not being disrespectful. God's saying, that's what I've been waiting for you to say. Instead of, we're just saying, here's what we say. Ready? Well, that's just the way I am. What you see is what you get. Well, that doesn't honor the Lord. You might mean well by that. I'm sure I've said it. But what is God trying? We've got to stop looking to the old beggarly elements of this world and start looking to who? Christ, as a saved child of God. Very quickly. So, he says this, verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Remember, we were married to the old man, to the law. And God says, but in Christ you died, you've been loosed from that now. You've been loosed from that. What shall we say then? Is the old man, is the husband bad? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, what happened? Sin revived and I died. When I started to look to the law, it ended it. Before we got saved, we didn't have any problems. Sure, what do you think's right and wrong? Don't you? And we were in bondage. Now all of a sudden we get saved and we say, oh, we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to, and guess what happened? Now you're miserable. Now you can't get it now. Why? Because we're too busy trying to do it in our own strength. And God is trying to square this all up for us right here. The book of Romans has been also called the Gospel of Paul. Amen? Because it's really the truth for the believer. So let's look at this. He says, verse 9, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death." Is it not true? I mean, you got salvation, you're born again. What happened? We're looking in the wrong way. Why? Because bless God, I love the Lord, just like you do. You love the Lord. So, you're going to give him your best. There's a problem with that. That's not what he's asking for. That's not what he wants. That's not how he chooses to glorify himself. He wants to show us himself in us. And that's such a better way. We were talking about that today, right? About the salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. The old law, it just kept reminding everybody every year. Sinner, sinner, condemned, unrighteous. So here we offer this that was a picture of the perfect sacrifice to come. All right? So watch this. Ready? Verse 11. "For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me." Can we all say amen to that? I thought that's what I was supposed to do, didn't you? I really did. I'm talking to you. I mean that for real. I really did. Now I can keep the Ten Commandments. Now I can keep the law. And guess what happened? Misery and failure. You're not alone. We're not alone. This is really the way and the understanding I'm convinced every believer has to go through. Because it turns it all over to the Lord. It says, man, I don't want to touch it. I just mess it up. So again, verse 12, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." Did you get that? That we might see that anything we touch is really contaminated. And we just make a mess of things. God is wanting us to abhor sin that we don't want to, that we realize anything we touch in our strength is not acceptable in the sight of God. Can't be. It can't be holy. But God has given to us his Spirit who makes the work holy. And it awes us. All right. So, verse 13, "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Paul's trying to help every believer understand this, and he's using himself as an example. "I want you to know I've experienced the very same thing." So he says, verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." Can we not all say amen to that? That's what Paul's trying to get the believers to understand. This has to be, and it's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. Listen, I can say, and I've heard others say, and younger believers than I say, "Oh, I wished I would have known this now. I wished I would have never done that." You would never be where you're at right now, able to receive this, unless you've gone through all of that. Peter would have never been the vessel God wanted to use until he denied the Lord. He was too full of himself. We're too full of ourselves. God has to bring us through the school of hard knocks to get us to let just say, "Hey, you know what? I got it. I thought I understood it. I don't understand it." We have nothing to brag about concerning the holiness of God. It's him. All him. So he says, man, verse 17, "Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." That's what he's trying to get us to understand. Verse 18, "For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Have you gotten there yet? Do you see that? And by the way, I need to be reminded. I'll forget and get busy in my flesh again. Instead of thinking, "Lord, you've got to do this." And then he'll do it. And you know what I'll do? I'll praise God. I'll praise God. "Lord, I have to be reminded, Lord, I need you to do it, because you know what? My patience is only so thick." So thick. It's not very thick. I can get irritated. You can talk to me, and if I let my flesh have control, you can get me riled up. Right? You can get me riled up. Have you ever been riled up? And you listen, you started off okay until somebody reminded you of something. And that's us. That's us. And God says, I've got to step in and quell that. And I can do that by the Spirit, but we can't do it. We can't manufacture that peace. That's God-given to the child of God. Very quickly, and I've got to move on. So he says, verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not, that's tongue twister, isn't it? It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And that's the truth. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Isn't that the truth? When you got saved, that's why the inward man, the Spirit of God, wanted you to do the right thing. The misunderstanding came from us thinking it was us that was to do it instead of him. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Listen to the question. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He says, there's the contrast. Now, we're going to move into chapter 8 very quickly, and notice what it says here. There is therefore, because we're saved, because of everything he just explained in chapter 7 and chapter 6, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What does that mean? That means I rely upon the Lord and call upon the Lord to fulfill that in my life. Listen, here's what we can do. Our body, this is going to be sounding a little bit confusing here. I'm going to give you a challenge. Our body naturally gets tired. It is natural for you and I. God created the body to sleep. Did he not? Wasn't our idea. It was God's idea. At the end of the day, sleep is good. It replenishes and rejuvenates the body. And then sometimes we overthink that. And we get anxious. Guess what's going to happen? You're not going to sleep. And you can take all different kinds of things to make you sleep. But if you'll just bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, you've created me to sleep. I'm anxious, Lord. Listen, you created this body to perform a specific function. I'm going to trust you to do it. And I'm not going to be worried about it. And I'm going to present. Does God want to help us? We look more to medicines and different things than we do giving God an opportunity to do something for us. But you have to stop and think. God created us to perform certain functions physically and spiritually. Aren't you glad you don't have to think about your heart beating? How many times would you have forgot to do that? How about breathing in the middle of the night? How come you don't worry about that? Is sleep any more natural or less natural than your heart beating and you breathing? Maybe we need to talk to the Lord. Now, I know there may be some other, but what I'm saying is I think we don't even prove the Lord in some of the simplest ways. Why would I be worried about anything? Well, because I'm taking it into my own hands. We'll worry about everything. And we'll lose our sleep. I think God wants the believer to have sleep. I think the Psalms say something about the wicked's sleep departing from them. But God gives the believer a sweet sleep. Does it not? I think that's God's doing, don't you? Maybe we ought to call upon him to do that when we're sleepless. And trust him for that. And by faith, just turn it over. Instead of listening to a lot of people and us not give... I mean, do we believe in the Lord? Do you think he wants us to be rested? Absolutely. So he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, listen, of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Did you see that? If you try to do it in the flesh, we're never going to do it. It's weak. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be filled. Listen, did you see that? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Does God want the law to be fulfilled in your life and mine? It says so. How are we to do it? By all means, not by our effort. We'll never get it. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You'll just go here and you'll just go there and you'll just look up all different kinds of things on the internet. Half of them are bogus. Amen? Half of them, don't you like putting confidence in people only to find out they're hacks, you know, they're not real? A lot of people say, well, look this up and follow after this one. And all of a sudden you look a little bit deeper and you're like, oh, maybe I don't care for this person. Instead of just, God, you're the author of life. Verse 4, very quickly, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And lastly, listen, for to be carnally or naturally minded is death. To figure it out naturally and not come to the Lord is death. You're never going to get it. But to be spiritually minded, what does that mean? Looking to the Lord and Him to fulfill it is life and peace. Why? Because the carnal mind is at enmity. The carnal, the natural mind, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It can't. Can we? Can we do the law and the strength of the flesh? He said, can't be. So here's the question. Are we willing to prove God to be spiritually minded and experience His life in peace? I think God is not finished with His church. How about you? I think God would like to show you and I His power in our lives, that He might put praise on our lips and a song in our hearts, and that the world might see, boy, they're different. In fact, listen, they've got something I need. I want. And God says, just ask me, I'll show you. Prove me. Prove me. That means ask Him to do it. And by faith, trust that He'll do it. Because He's promised to do it. See that? Right. Oh, God's never going to do it. But okay, Brother George said, ask Him. Lord, will You do this for me? He's never going to do that. Are you going to see anything like that? I want you to know, God is infinitely perfect and faithful. And He is true to His word. Man will fail. God never does. Never fails. Every promise is sure because it's His word. Take Him at His word and let Him show you great and mighty things that we don't know about yet. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne. Lord, I thank You for each one that's here tonight and that is seeking You, Lord. I pray that You would bless Your word. Give us understanding and wisdom and faith, Lord, to trust You and all Your promises and to call upon You to fulfill them and that You would glorify Yourself in us. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.